Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this here show, and it's Wednesday, May the 3rd. Hope you're having a wonderful morning. I'm Tim with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim, and great. I am having a wonderful morning. Yeah.
That's great. Absolutely. You got a spring in your step?
Oh, spring. Absolutely. Yeah, spring in both steps.
Haven't sprained your ankle?
Nope. It's a good day.
It's a good day.
Yep.
You've recovered from
the... I've recovered from my disastrous hockey playoff series.
Right, right.
Not my personal.
Right, I know.
But
you're a fan. You're emotionally invested. I'm not going to make you relive this. But
yeah, because now you're bringing me down, Tim. Bring me right back.
Okay, don't.
I crawled out of that dark hole.
Yes, right. On Tuesday.
And now you're putting... I feel like you're putting dirt back on me or something.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have brought it up. I know how it is. All right, Fred Jackson, good morning. But Fred, on a happy note, the Toronto Maple Leafs are still well alive, right?
But they lost last night
in the first game against the Panthers. Oh.
The team that beat my team.
You guys know this already. Human nature is that, quote, misery loves company,
yes.
End of quote. So don't expect Ed to get thrilled with your Toronto Maple Leafs should they advance.
Well, no, I think it would be for Toronto.
Oh, that's your second team?
No.
No?
You have thought wrong. Wrongly.
You've chosen wrongly.
Toronto and Boston have had something of a rivalry because they've had seven-game series, and the last three, the Bruins have knocked the Maple Leafs out over a series of...
Fred doesn't know that.
10 years. Oh, he does. He knows. But those rivalries develop, and so the team that knocked my team out is playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I'm rooting for the team that knocked my team out.
I got you. I just asked that you guys not body check one another during the show this morning. That's
now, Fred actually played hockey. I'm not going to try to body check him.
You just watch it. Okay.
Yeah.
See, what irritates Ed,
yeah,
and just heard, he's not a big Toronto fan, but Boston plays an arena called
TD Garden. That's right.
And what does TD stand for?
Toronto
Dominion.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's a Toronto.
A Toronto bank.
Headquartered bank. That is true. That is true.
Toronto bank sponsors the Boston Coliseum.
They own the arena.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's the irony of the sporting world.
Hey, maybe that's the problem.
I don't know. There's problems.
It's a conspiracy.
There's problems afoot, Tim. They are afoot.
Sounds like George Costanza.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Jerry.
All right. If you want to watch this show, go to Facebook Live and type in Today's Issues. We live video stream this show. And we post the stories that we talk about on our Facebook Today's Issues page. We also have our own live video streaming service. So if you want to watch this show and other AFR shows and have access to a lot of other good stuff, go to streaming.afa.net. Check it out. We spent a lot of time, money, and energy developing that website so we could stream our own show so that we couldn't be canceled. Go to streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. At the bottom of the hour, Abraham Hamilton III will be with us. And what's going to be our topic with him, Ed?
We are going to be talking about the U.S. Navy. Of course, all the branches of the military are having trouble meeting their recruiting goals. But folks, wait till you hear what the U.S. Navy has allowed to happen. It is really discouraging to see the institution of the military being captured by the woke mob. And we're talking perversion. Mm. All right. And so, folks, we will be discussing that with Abraham Hamilton III at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah. Yes. We'll be talking about that. So that's a teaser there. But it's very troubling what's going on in a lot of institutions in our country, but especially the United States military. All right, Fred, what's your top story?
Well, our folks in Texas are breathing a sigh of relief this morning because authorities have now captured 38-year-old Francisco Oropeza. He is the man that was wanted in the murders of five individuals in the rural town of Cleveland, Texas, just northeast of Houston. That happened last Friday evening. He was captured yesterday near the community of Conroe, Texas, not too far away from Cleveland, and he was hiding in a closet in a house. And they were given a tip, authorities were given a tip where this guy was because there had been money offered for the capture.
It was like $80,000.
It was getting up to about $80,000. Anyway, they took him into custody without, according to the sheriff's office there, too much resistance. But also we're learning this morning that there were several other arrests in connection with this yesterday. And we're just finding out that Oropeso's wife, who apparently has been in the country illegally, we want to remind people that Oropeso has been in and out of the country illegally four or five times over the last several years. Anyway, there was an arrest. His wife was arrested overnight as well, plus four other people. The sheriff said he couldn't say too much about the investigation because it's continuing, but the indication is they were arrested because they were aiding in his efforts to avoid being arrested in connection with this. Anyway, he is in a jail cell. Apparently a judge will go to that jail cell this morning for the initial hearing. The speculation is he's going to be held on $5 million bond.
Well, this guy, Francisco Oropeza, is a wicked, wicked man. Over an argument that should have been settled easily. He was outside shooting. The neighbor came and said, we're trying to get our baby to sleep. The guy walks next door and kills every member of the family, I think, except for the father.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were 10 people
in the house.
And some
of the kids.
And some of the kids. So just an act of absolute wickedness. And I'm glad that the authorities have caught Oropeza, and I hope he gets executed.
Mm.
I mean, that's what capital punishment exists for. Is for those kinds of crimes. There's no sense keeping a guy like this alive for the rest of his life. He should be executed.
How many times has he been deported?
At least four.
Okay. I guess we discussed this a little yesterday. Maybe you guys don't know the answer. Is there an escalating penalty for the number of times you re-enter the country after being deported, or not?
I don't think so.
No.
I think you're just deported. Now, if you commit a crime like this guy,
right,
or a Pesa, he will suffer the legal consequences in this country. So if you have come across.
But he shouldn't be. My point is he shouldn't have ever been here in the first place.
Oh, yes.
Well, the problem is the southern border is a sieve.
Right.
So he gets deported. So, he comes across.
So who knows so, how many so, times so that's w- would you. It, in any way, shape, or form, put some responsibility of this crime on those who don't want to enforce our southern borders, the immigration?
Absolutely. There have been well-known cases of illegal immigrants in this country who have, remember the shooting that happened? It was in California. It was on a pier.
Yeah,
I forget
yeah.
the name of the young lady who was shot and killed, and the illegal immigrant said it went off accidentally, but he should not have been here. But he had under similar circumstances, he had been on this carousel of being deported and coming right back in, being deported, being coming right back in. So these kinds of crimes happen often.
Yeah. Anyway, we talked about this yesterday. The crimes committed by illegal immigrants in the U.S. are only going to grow just simply because we've got the sheer numbers of them coming in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of those folks coming in are not criminals. They're just poor people looking for a better life. And and I feel sorry for them. But at the same time, you have to have law and order in this country, and have immigration laws, and they have to be followed. So, you know.
And we've said all along, Congress can increase the number of people who can come into the country legally if we need
those kinds of jobs. If they want to, Congress can, and the president can pass it or not. But here's the thing. If you're going to have deportation, then you have to tell them. It's kind of like with any other crime. Or with any other warning, if you tell a child, you know, if they cheat on a test, and you say, you know what, if you cheat, you can cheat on a test as many times as you want to, and all you got to do is go take a 3-day detention.
Right.
No, they're not going to do that. They're going to say, we caught you cheating on a test. You get a 3-day suspension or whatever you want to call detention. But if you do it again, you're kicked out of school.
Right.
Okay. All right, you got to have that kind of attitude on the deportation, not attitude, but you got to have that kind of legal structure with the deportation, or it's ineffective, as we see here. Five times, I mean, so the guy's going, what do I care whether I'm deported? He probably gets a good meal, a couple nights in a hotel.
Yeah.
When he's deported, refreshes himself, and then back to come over again.
You know, listen, my mom used to always say to me when I would complain, I can't do this. She'd always say, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
And if this country, and especially those on the left, wanted to solve the legal immigration process, they could easily do it. Let me tell you, it would save this country tens of millions of dollars if we just paid Mexico and we said, we're going to give you X number of tens of millions of dollars to secure your southern border. And not let people come up through your country to enter ours.
We'll pay you.
When we will pay the people on the southern border, and then we do other things to secure for those that slip through the northern border. We could easily do that. And we could say, listen, for those who are coming across the country, we want to know why you're coming. If we let you come in legally, you've got to have a job. That's what we used to do.
Right, right.
You have to have a job. We want to know where you are.
Right. That's what Canada still does, right? You have to have a job.
Yes. Green card.
You have to show the ability to take care of yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't come and be dependent on the government.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, next story, Fred.
I guess we're wrong, though, because Karine Jean-Pierre said earlier this week that illegal immigration is down 90% since Joe Biden became
president. 9-0.
9-0. Yeah. Well, she was kind of taken to task for that yesterday by none other than...
Everyone in the media.
By the one person who's willing to ask tough questions amongst the White House media. Guess who? Peter Ducey. Have a listen, see what happened. Cut three.
You've seen it come down by more than 90%. Where did that number come from?
I was speaking.
CDC is telling us the number is.
I hear you. I'm about to answer.
136,000 people more.
I'm about to answer you. If the dramatics could come down just a little bit.
What's dramatic about asking a question about?
Okay, I'm going to answer. So I was speaking to the parolee program. As you know, the president put in place a parolee program to deal with certain countries on ways that we can limit illegal migration. And we have seen, the data has shown us, that it has gone down by more than 90%. That was what I was speaking
to.
We're going to go. We're going to move. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
you
ahead.
Know why you're going to move? Because you can't answer a question because you're a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was very plain. She put a period behind this parolee program, and then she went on to say in a separate statement there on Monday, I guess it was, and illegal immigration is down 90%.
Yeah. Listen, as I said before, it gives me no pleasure to call somebody in politics a liar, but at the same time, I mean, sometimes they can be misleading, sometimes they can shade the truth.
Half-truths,
innuendos. No, this lady's just, she's just a liar. She intentionally said that, you know, everybody in that room knows that's not true. And Peter Ducey, mm-hmm. maybe he's the only one with the courage to ask her a question. Maybe the other ones are Team Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wasn't there. Now, James Rosen, I don't know who he's with now. Is he with Newsmax or?
Yeah, he's not always.
Anyway, I heard him sort of follow up. Well, no, he was following up on the question about Hunter Biden's child in Arkansas, and why Joe and Jill Biden won't refer to that child as their grandchild.
Yeah.
And Karine Jean-Pierre said, I'm not going to talk about that from up here, to which Dan Rosen said, why not? I don't understand. Anyway, so he will from time to time question her.
Yep.
But you're right. Most of them are just lapdogs. Glad to be in the White House and at the Karine Jean-Pierre's press conference.
Well, and they're on the same team as Karine
Jean-Pierre. Yeah, I know. Yes. But she, to say, you know, the border, everybody knows the border's been flooded by millions of people, and it's about to get exponentially worse because of the Title 42 reversal.
Well,
ending.
Yeah, Fred said the projections from a lot of groups are that 13,000 a day.
Right, and that's what he. I think that's what he was asking about. Peter Ducey. She was talking over him, telling him to calm the theatrics, or what'd she say, the dramatics.
Yes,
she was being a smart aleck to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had her nailed to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she was going to get over that was, I'll just interrupt and say, you're being a drama queen.
Mm-hmm.
When all he was doing was asking to give us, where did you get your information that you say that illegal immigration is down 90%?
Well, besides, if the Biden administration thinks it's okay to be a drag queen, why isn't it okay to be a drama queen?
Yeah.
How about that?
I hear you.
Yeah.
You're right there, Ed. You tell them.
How about that, Karine Jean-Pierre?
I'm still bothered by the fact that the vast, vast majority of those White House correspondents just let all this slide. Why is it that there's only one reporter, usually, willing to do the kinds of things that they did when Donald Trump was president? Remember the daily things that McEnany went through, the White House press secretaries, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, what she went through.
Wild dogs on a bone.
Oh, it was incredible.
Huh? That would be a good name for a rock band, actually.
Wild dogs.
Don't you think so?
Yeah. Is
it maybe open
like
for Def Leppard or something?
Def Leppard.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
All right, go ahead, Fred.
It's hard to name a modern group, isn't it? Monsters and Men. How's that?
Wild Dogs on the Bone. All right, go ahead, Fred.
All right, the number one story on our website right now, afn.net. Here's the headline. Walmart's embrace of pride tied to woke Wall Street. What are we talking about? Well, apparently, there's two homosexuals have proudly announced their gay pride merchandise is coming to a Walmart store near you. And this all has to do with Pride Month coming up in the month of June. And apparently they've signed on to a contract to sell in at least 1,300 of their stores, I believe it is, various things like Pride-related products, hats, stickers, patches, water bottles, lanyards, notebooks, greeting cards, socks, and fanny packs. So it may not be at every Walmart, but apparently at least 1,300 Walmarts are willing to stores are willing to sell this merchandise. Well, we talked to Ethan Peck of the National Center for Public Policy Research on why it is that Walmart is willing to go along with this. Cut number 8.
Corporations are not interested in what's making them in making more money for their shareholders. They're not interested in servicing their customers. They're interested in serving the asset managers like BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, who have took them over. Sure, there are genuine wokesters at the corporation, and that there is an element of trying to appease the woke mob, but I think more so it's appeasing BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street and HRC that causes them to do this.
Now, this reference to BlackRock and Vanguard, they are major, major, big investment firms that are heavily invested in Walmart stocks. And so, therefore, they have pressure on Walmart. This is what the statements are. I'm not a business expert. But apparently, when you are that big, like BlackRock and Vanguard, you can pressure the company headquartered in Arkansas that you need to do this kind of thing to appease these kinds of groups.
And they call it DEI. That's the emphasis, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And listen, this is very disappointing. Now, my understanding is the AFN staff, I think, did Chris Woodward write this story?
Yes.
Anyway, so he has put in a call to Walmart.
That's correct.
We want to comment on this. They yes. have not responded.
That's right. As of today.
As of today. There are 5,300 Walmart stores in the United States. So 1,300 is a portion of that. But I think it is a clear indication of the direction that Walmart is intending to go. They've actually waffled at times, but also we've caught them with their hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
And they have kind of pulled back. But they are pretty close to going all in.
Yes.
And this pressure put on Walmart, both inside and out from outside. Inside, you've got a lot of the woke people who have been hired over the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about us. They don't care about what their customers want. They care about their ideology, but also,
you know,
this external pressure being placed on them.
Yeah, as we've said before, when we've met with companies over the years, or tried to persuade them, and that is to stay neutral.
Yes.
That's all you need to do. You know, Bud Light didn't need to get into the transgender debate. Just right. sell your beer, huh?
Yeah.
And Walmart is here. What exactly are they doing here?
They are have announced that they're going to sell these pride-related products, like
okay, they don't have to do
a rainbow hat or whatever.
They don't have to do that. Walmart doesn't. I guess this is Doug McMillon's decision. He's the CEO. Listen, it's two different things here. If Walmart, in terms of their shoppers, they don't care who comes in there, gay, straight. They don't care what color. They just care that you buy products from their stores. Also, nobody cares from the outside how Walmart treats their LGBTQ employees.
Right.
That's between them and the employees. Where you step over the line for most people is when you start advocating as a company for this lifestyle and this behavior by championing their cause, by selling their LGBT pride mm-hmm. merchandise.
And this, by the way, this Gay Pride apparel is a product line. It was started, and this is all in the, I don't know if we got this posted, this story posted from American Family News, was started by two gay men, Sergio Aragon and Jesus Gutierrez. They said, and I've read a couple of articles on this, they said Walmart approached them. They didn't go to Walmart and pitch their line to Walmart and convince them. Walmart approached them and said, we want to carry your line, this gay pride apparel. So there'll be hats, stickers, patches, water bottles, all these kinds of things, notebooks. What these stores usually do when they go down this direction, in this direction, they will have a section when you walk into the store of gay pride gear.
I went into a couple of years ago, it was in June. That's LGBT Pride Month. Of course, every month's Pride Month for these.
Yes.
For them. But I went into an animal store, where they have all kind of things for pets and so forth, food and so forth. It was a major store, and they had they had LGBT Pride stuff
for pet, animals.
For pets.
I think I know the store you're talking about.
Yeah, it was on front. It was in full display up front. I was going, come on.
Yeah.
For pets? Like you're going to put on a jacket for your dog that's rainbowed? Anyway, it was the silliest thing I've ever seen. We'll be back momentarily.
God made his design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Betty Glover of Phoenix, Oregon, has been ringing up groceries for the past 10 years. She loves her customers, loves her job. But it's time for Betty to retire. Her eyesight, not what it used to be, macular degeneration. Problem is, Betty did not have enough savings to quit her job, 91 years old and still bagging groceries. And Betty's not alone. The Census Bureau says about 49% of adults 55 to 65 don't have anything saved for retirement. One day, someone suggested GoFundMe, so Betty did just that. And within a matter of days, she raised nearly $75,000, more than double what she had asked, more than enough to pay for rent, medication, and groceries. And after a lifetime of work, she officially resigned. She plans to spend her twilight years visiting her grandkids and great-grandkids. And Betty is able to do just that, all because of the generosity of strangers. I'm Todd Starnes.
Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. 1 Peter 3:14-16.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Folks, let me just say, we talk about the good, bad, and the ugly here, about what's happening in our country and in our world, but we always try to maintain perspective, and the perspective we try to maintain is a biblical perspective on issues. What we have going on in our country is a spiritual war that's going on around the world and has been going on since the devil,
right.
The devil, which is a real entity, if you read the Bible, Jesus referred to the devil, even confronted the devil. So if you want to mock that, you're mocking Jesus, because Jesus confronted the devil, and the Bible speaks about God versus Satan. It's all through the scripture, okay? So what we got going on planet Earth and in America is overall an overarching spiritual war, all right? Good versus evil, right versus wrong, moral versus immoral, however you want to frame it. And this is happening in America today. So we understand God is in control. We trust in the Lord. The Bible says we as Christians, we must trust in the Lord. We must always do what is right. We don't always do what's right. That's when we sin. We need forgiveness. But our goal and objective every day when we get up in the morning as individuals and as a Christian community should be to stand for righteousness, as the Bible says. So we have hope and we have joy.
Amen.
Right? And we're encouraged by the Word of God and understanding that God is on His throne and He is in charge of the universe. But the battle rages, all right, for our own individual hearts and for society. And I think if you look at this in the perspective, Satan would like to bring down America. How do you bring down America? You destroy it from within. What does that look like? Well, it looks like the way we've been trending. If you look at what the polling a couple of weeks back showed, that just over 25 years, how our country had gone from one of reverence for God, church attendance high, and patriotism high, those things measured against today, though all those three, I don't have the specific statistics in front of me here, the numbers, but
it was a huge drop.
A huge drop that's happened over the last 25 to 30 years in our country. So you say, Tim, how do you have evidence for what you're talking about? Well, I would cite those numbers, okay, mm-hmm. as an example mm-hmm. of what's happening in our country. So I say all that to say this. When we talk about these issues every day, some of this stuff's just downright depressing. You know, and we don't enjoy talking about bad news
right.
all the time. That's why we try to bring good news, too, to the table. But at the same time, we have to talk about what's really happening so that we can pray and make a difference and try to save our country. We know that we're not God. We can't, quote, save our country, but we can do our part as God tells us to do.
Salt and light.
To be salt and light. And we love America. Okay, we're Americans. We're all Americans. We love America. It's the greatest planet on earth. It's not perfect, but we want our children and our grandchildren and our posterity to have freedom and liberty and enjoy opportunity and a way of life that's not possible in the vast majority of the countries on earth, okay? So, they're the secular progressives in this country. They are trying to take away our freedoms and our liberties and our way of life. They hate our guts. Why? Because we stand for God and His truth, and they hate us for that. Most of those people are blinded by the devil himself. They're spiritually blinded. But some of them, they know full well what they're doing, and they're trying to bring down our country. That's the way I see it. Abraham Hamilton III. Good morning, Brother Abraham.
Good morning.
Abe, would you like to add to anything I just said, Abe?
Well, your view is not an opinion that's just, you know, divined or cherry-picked from the sky. There's documentation that has been written. I mean, for example, you have Antonio Gramsci that says, in order to have the advancement of any Marxist vision of life, any culture that is rooted in a Judeo-Christian ethos, it must be severed. That's the specific terminology.
Now, identify who that is.
Yes, Antonio Gramsci is the Italian Marxist who, after witnessing the failures of the efforts to impose Marxism via violence, you know, that was Karl Marx's contribution to the socialist panoply in thought. He's not the inventor of socialism, but he introduced the notion of violence being used as a tool to accomplish socialistic objectives. Well, Antonio Gramsci said, nah, people have this pesky thing about them. When you say you want to kill them, they defend themselves. Right. You want to beat them up, they want to fight back. So what he proposed was a long march through the institutions, revolution by evolution. So in his worldview advancement agenda, he identified that in order for Marxism to be effective and to effectively take root in any society, which would include America, that is steeped in a Judeo-Christian founding, that founding must be severed. So when you see all of these things, let's get rid of this founder, let's get rid of that founder, let's do this thing. This is the manifestation, the contemporary application of Gramsci's objectives. So when you say that these people want to see America destroyed, that's not hyperbolic. That is what they want to see happen as it currently is situated. Now, they believe that their vision for America is better, but we've seen the experiments in socialism and Marxism all around the world.
Okay, what do these people want to replace America's Judeo-Christian, what would you say,
foundations
with?
And I would argue that one of the main structural features of the Judeo-Christian ethos is our system of checks and balances in governmental power. The reality that we have a system of checks and balances is based on Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Progressives adhere to a theological framework that is atheistic. So they want to reject the notion that man is inherently sinful. They embrace the view that man is inherently good. That's why you don't have to deal with jihadists who are terrorists. They just need more jobs.
Right. Mm.
They just need more opportunities.
Yeah, but why do they hate our guts then? Why, in particular, by our, I mean Christians?
Well, the jihadists do because you are
not jihadists, secular progressives.
Well, the secular progressives, because any adherence to divinity means that man is not God.
Right.
See, the touchstone of the progressives is that man should be the supreme being. So they want to uproot and supplant our system that at the federal level and at the state levels, our constitutional republican form of government, guaranteed by Article 4 of the Constitution, they want to get rid of that in exchange for a system of middle managers. FDR tried to do it. Others tried to do it to where you have these esteemed, erudite experts who govern all things in social life for Americans.
And this is what they're, quote, progressing towards?
This is what they believe they're advancing
towards. So when we say the word progressive, politically speaking, and philosophically speaking, in modern day speech, this is where these folks want to go.
They want to progress towards a totalitarian dictatorship of the expert.
Hmm. Right. That's the progressive mindset. Now, I will add that what Abe is talking about in terms of Antonio Gramsci and Benito Mussolini, who is the founder of the idea of fascism.
Yes.
Are we talking about Mussolini, World War II?
Yes.
Italy?
He was 1922.
Bundle of sticks.
That's right. So their idea is that the state is God.
Yes.
All right? So the state replaces. That's why Mussolini, that's why the progressives in this country are starting to make war against the church.
Yeah.
Because the church is that community of redeemed people who worship Almighty God and order their lives according to that quote-unquote ideology, if you will.
Okay, but they say, Fred, feel free to jump in here, and we got a story we want to get to in a minute, but I think this is very important because I know a lot of people wonder why we have to talk about these issues, why we care so deeply about what's happening in our country. But why did they, secular progressives, which have, by the way, taken over one of the major political parties in our country, the Democratic Party. They've taken it over. why do they? You saw Jane Fonda the other day on The View. She's not a deep thinker,
right.
or really a influencer of any type. But she was asked about the pro-lifers, and she said, "Well, they need to be murdered." And she wasn't kidding. If you watch that interview, she was serious. They need to be murdered. She tried to save it a little bit by a day or two later by saying she was kidding around. But anyway, you had the, and you have others, maybe not saying as strong as that, but to round them up, basically talking about us. I remember Bernie Sanders guy in Iowa, when he was running, said that these people talking about conservative Christians need to be sent to re-education camps.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Which is literally what happens in communist countries.
When they take over.
When they take over.
Well,
and your point was accurate. I'm sorry, Fred. I'm just when I said the totalitarian dictatorship of the experts, that expertise will be applied through the state.
Well, the other thing, too, is that you have to silence the opposition, which is why we have this campaign now, which goes all the way to the White House. We must extinguish what they call disinformation.
Right.
We saw this during the pandemic.
It's a very good point, Fred.
But
what they define as disinformation. Right.
What they defined as disinformation.
Regardless of whether or not it's true.
Right, right.
Yes. I mentioned yesterday, Dr. David Jeremiah on his program Turning Point here at AFR is doing a series on Marxism right now. And one of the tenets is you silence any opposition. If tomorrow the Biden administration could shut down American Family Radio, they would.
Absolutely.
They'd shut us down.
And they hate the Constitution. They wouldn't put it in these terms, but they hate the Constitution because the Constitution and the Bill of Rights protects us.
Yes.
And that's why they want to undermine. I mean, this is the Abe, this is the tying together of all the things that are happening in our country. They hate the Second Amendment. They always want to chip away at it. They want to chip away at the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, and this goes back to the progressives at the beginning of the 1900s, they want to aggregate power all for our benefit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They want to aggregate power. They do not want the separation of powers like the Constitution has been developed, was designed to do. They want to aggregate it because they want to create the utopia on earth that the experts say we all need to live in.
Is that a period or question mark?
That was a good point. I was just tossing it to Abe.
Why do they, I've asked this question, the secular progressives, they say that we, especially conservative Christians, we're the worst of the worst, according to them.
Deplorable. They're kind of like a basket of deplorable.
Deplorable. That's what Hillary Clinton said.
Right. Clinging to your guns and your religion.
That's what Obama said. They try to frame the issue for the general public so that the general public will take their side against us by saying that we are trying to force our religion on everybody. What evidence do they have of that, and why do they think that's a winning argument?
First of all, they don't need evidence. Right. They lie for a living, just like with the whole disinformation deal. They want to crush dissenting opinions, regardless if they're true or not. The Hunter Biden laptop story is a significant example of that reality. The assertion that we as Christians are attempting to force our religion on anybody, again, is an abject, flat-out lie. It's a flat-out lie. It's actually the reverse. They're trying to first force their religion of secular humanism and sexual deviancy upon us. You don't see any of us marching and say, hey, we want to demand that every school is teaching that a marriage is only one man and one woman. We demand that you teach that. You don't have any examples where we're demanding any other places to embrace various doctrinal portions of our faith. It's actually the opposite. So the assertion that we're attempting to force religion on anybody is just a flat-out lie. But they don't need it to be true in order to advance it because it fits their agenda. These people,
they would say, as an example, you're trying to interfere with women's reproductive rights because you're the American Taliban.
Which women?
Pregnant women.
Not the women who are inside of the pregnant women.
Right.
Okay. This is a major philosophical disagreement, and it's good versus evil.
Yeah.
And we have to say it this way. The other side, the secular progressives, they would say the baby inside their mother's womb is not a human being deserving of protection of law. That's what they would say, right?
Right. Yes.
That's why now the curtain's been pulled back, yeah. And that's why most Democrats in this country who are secular progressives, not all, but most of them would say they don't like saying this publicly, but they won't disagree with it. You should be able to kill the baby up to the moment of birth.
Yes.
Right?
That's what they will say.
Yes.
And the reason that is a consistent view, I will give them that. Right. Okay. That is a consistent view that if you have that, if you're quote pro-choice, right? Okay. Anyway,
they haven't been willing to say that out loud publicly until now. But then you have the issue, first of all, not even getting to the reality of what Scripture says. This is why they hate our Constitution.
Right.
How do you, quoting our preamble to our Constitution, how do you, in order to form a more perfect union, preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity without posterity?
Right, if you're murdering your posterity.
There's no way you can apply the Constitution if you're murdering your posterity, because the Constitution exists to aid the preservation of liberties and the blessings of liberties, what the Constitution says, the preamble says, to ourselves and to our posterity. So, again, this is why they hate the Constitution, because it is a worldview divergence for them.
All right. Now, let me get to
the story.
Specific example that we wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Now that we have set up the context for this, we're talking about the potential dissolution of our constitutional republic.
Yeah.
All right. So the particular
issue. That's not an overstatement.
No, it's not, because it's coming. If Christians do not fight for the liberty we've been given, as our founders said, this is the experiment we're entrusting into your hands. And as Benjamin Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it.
And I would, just to interrupt you, I would appeal to people who aren't necessarily Christians, who just love America and love freedom and love liberty and our way of life. Even if you're not a Christian, you better listen up to what we're saying, because they're coming for Christians, but they're also coming for anybody who disagrees with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Christians only represent the most strident and identifiable example of those who would disagree with them.
Right.
But everybody else is included in that.
All right. So here's the story you want to talk about. We have been covering over the last year or two the fact, folks, that the U.S. military is coming up short in its recruitment goals, trying to figure out why. We have made plenty of effort to demonstrate that the why of not meeting those goals is because of the woke agenda that has taken root in the U.S. military. To that point, the U.S. Navy has platformed, a drag queen influencer to attract youth to the military in its hiring crisis. And this individual, Joshua Kelly, who goes by the stage name Harpy Daniels, has announced actually back in November that he was the Navy's digital ambassador, has over 1.3 million likes on TikTok. That ought to tell you something. Abe, what's going on in the U.S. military in terms of allowing the woke ideology to gain a foothold, not just a foothold, promoting the woke ideology in the U.S. military? The statistics illustrate that only 13% of 18 to 29-year-olds are highly willing to join the military. What's happening? Is this by design, or is this simply the consequence of a bad idea being allowed to take root in the military?
I honestly think it's a little bit of both. I do believe that there are some people who are nefarious in their intention, and they do want to see a weakened America. And unfortunately, some of these people have penetrated various echelons within our governmental apparatus. But I also think it also is a bit of the bad ideas having consequences. Because all of these different agendas, and this is one of the major reasons why I remain so upset about the consistent efforts to assert sexual preferences as being synonymous with my innate ethnicity. With my skin color is determined by God. There's no amount of conduct that can change that. So to conflate that with the volitional choice of who you engage in intimate engagements with, it's not the same thing.
Right.
And so that is demonstrably true, what I just said. But our society, whatever, it's all the same, all big pot, oppression is oppression. It's like, wait a minute. In order to establish protected class in this country, there used to be criteria we established. You had immediately discernible external characteristics that were immutable. The moment you say something about trans anything, you have literally, by your own admission, denied any qualification as a protected class. But we've jettisoned that to allow these things to happen. And so the current cultural milieu is attempting to conflate people's preferences, confusion, dysphoria with the historical past of, subjugation, oppression, slavery, and things of that nature in our country. So to have anyone who would say, you know what, we're having difficulty recruiting people to the Navy, I got a bright idea. Let's hire a drag queen. That's going to sure get people that want to sign up, go Navy. It's absurd. But to have such an absurd thing asserted and to have people to believe that that could actually help recruitment efforts is an exercise in abject lunacy or intentional subterfuge.
Who's responsible for this?
Well, now, this individual that I mentioned, this yeoman second class, Joshua Kelly, He claims that his opinions are not officially endorsed by the Department of Defense or the Department of Navy, but he has danced and dragged for service officers on a number of different occasions, and the U.S. Navy is wide open to the trans identity movement. So, listen, I think the purge began under President Obama.
Yeah.
By purge, I mean the purge of conservatives and Christians and people with traditional ideas about sexuality and gender. That, I don't know if it was halted under President Trump. I just don't know. But it is picked up. It is at lightning speed, warp speed, I should say, under the Biden administration.
I think this is all part of a campaign to purge the military of people with conservative values.
It's working.
And
that's why they're short.
That's why they're short. I've heard, you know, people say that the military used to depend on the Bible Belt states for their recruitment.
In large part.
Because we're talking about second, third generation military families.
Right.
Now that's not happening.
Yeah.
Do you really want to, if you're a conservative Christian who has been in the military for 30 years, do you want your son and daughters going into a military where they would be forced by nature of the culture of the military to accept this?
Right.
This is scary stuff, folks.
Yeah, and you know, we may not see the results or the ramifications of this immediately, but I'm going to tell you something. Should the United States military as a whole stop meeting recruitment goals 25% year over year over year,
yeah,
in 10 years, we're going to look up and say we've got a tenth of what we need.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not talking about just foot soldiers or sailors, but people who do expert who do high tech jobs or fly fighter jets or operate battleships. I mean, this could have real life implications for our country militarily. It may not show up right now, but 10 years from now, they'll show up big time.
Yes.
Well, you're laying the foundations for the end of, you know, Reagan's strategy, strength through deterrence. You're signaling, portending the end of that, because you cannot, as you said, have year over year 10%, 25% shortfalls.
How much are we down this year?
Well,
and I'm talking about the military as a whole. Is it 10 to 20%?
Oh, at
or
least.
Or 15%?
It's in some branches, it's larger than others.
There's an article from military.com yesterday. Army expects to miss its recruiting goal again this year.
Right. And they're offering the same, if more, incentives
for
young people to go into the military. It's talking about college, paying for college and so forth and so on.
They're also dropping the criteria for getting in.
Yes.
So because they're saying they're letting in young men who are obese.
Yeah.
And are
right.
not going to be capable
right.
of handling.
Is this a case of we're being eroded or destroyed from within?
I believe so.
The threat is the enemy within our own country?
I believe so, and I believe we're witnessing the manifestation of what the scripture says: righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When we reject the standards of the God of the Bible, it has societal impact,
right?
And it causes institutional root
rot,
and it's only a matter of time that
exposed. That is oftentimes not apparent at the moment the changes are made,
right?
Yep.
But when the collapse comes, and historians look back,
right,
they will say, well, there was a history of rot, as Abe says.
It's kind of like when the wall falls down and you go over there and you see termites in the wood. Well, you couldn't see them until the moment
the collapse
occurs.
But the cause of the collapse is not sudden.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.